Good afternoon, everybody. It is the PGA DFS First Look Show for the Valero Texas Open we've got this week. And I know all eyes, or most eyes, may be on the triple millionaire maker week that is heading up to us next week for the Masters. There's still life-changing money to be won this week. And we're going to talk about how to maybe get into some of these contests for next week a little bit easier than just shelling out the money. So we've got a ton to talk about. Of course, we're going to review last week. But before I go on any longer, I would just like to thank Monkey Knife Fight, the sponsor of this show. And while they're not, they don't have golf contests posted quite yet, I bet by the end of the show they will. So head on over to monkeyknifefight.com, where you're going to use promo code Osmo, going to get $50 free on your first deposit. Sign up today. You're going to play any sports they got over there. MLB is coming back in a couple of days. NBA, UFC, PGA, esports, and soccer. Monkey Knife Fight has it all. And their player props-based contest, they're an easy way to play. You don't have to put in the time and the research. Just like last week, you know, Jeff, when we had to like decide who's going to be in the final four and optimals and quadrants, I don't have to worry about any of that at Monkey Knife Fight. So we had two tournaments, maybe to recap a bit. We're not going to spend that much time on match play because it seemed like the interest was fading a bit throughout the week. How about you? Did you keep interest or same thing kind of along the lines that I just said?
No, man, I didn't really keep interest. Once I hit the semifinals, I just, even just for the match betting and stuff, I mean, I was kind of out of it. I mean, you know, a little bit of the match bet or the pod betting was fun and stuff like that. And you know, just sweating a couple guys I had outrights on, like Answer and stuff early. But, you know, everybody just drifted away. Answer choked, a couple other guys like that. And for me, it was over before it started. And, you know, unless you had like a Billy Ho ticket or something, I mean, I think most people were out on this event pretty quickly. So yeah, the match play, that's what it is. It's hit or miss, right? I mean, you got some exciting things going on in the pods, I guess, but like it seemed once we hit the quarters, man, like it was like, let's just get to the Masters.
Yeah. Boring, kind of boring golf. And we'll talk about Joel Damon. And as you can see here in our topics, we'll talk about Damon's breakthrough, but under that, for me, when it was a true bracket style, 64 golfers, you show up on Wednesday. If you lose, you go home or go to Augusta, wherever you want to go. I like that a lot better. I just feel like after they get through group stage, people are kind of like, all right, we're kind of done with this. It should almost be over. And by the time the final four comes around, Scottie Scheffler versus Billy Horschel, maybe locally that worked out, but I had no interest in watching it by that point. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, I was hoping for Scheffler. I mean, Scheffler was a guy I kind of picked as the guy to come out of that group. I'm not shocked he played well. I think he's been kind of trending well. Really good young player, obviously. But, you know, by the time he hit the finals, like my lineups were toast anyway, so it didn't even matter to me. So I was cheering a little bit for him. But even he couldn't even make it exciting on Sunday. So, and, you know, obviously it's a long event. So and this is the other thing with this event. It often happens, man. You get to the finals, it's a little anticlimactic. One guy just kind of, you know, railroads the other because the other guy's just kind of like done for the week, you know.
Gets down two or three and then just totally gives up. He's like, exactly. You know what, I'll take the second place check and go to Augusta or whatever.
So I like match play. The event, you know, once a year is probably good for this. I don't really know what they can do. I think you're probably right. Let's just do the bracket. Let's just do the sudden death.
Yeah, and listen, I get the point where they don't want players to show up for one day and then go home. But guess what? Come on, these guys, you know,
the players would probably prefer that, to be honest. You know, right? So
I guess they were the ones that complaining that they don't want to show up for just one day. But listen, right, as Patrick Cantlay best said, you know, go have the sound clip. I don't know that I can say that on air here, but go find the sound clip of Patrick Cantlay, the tournament champions. That's kind of what I gotta say. Just show up for one day. You lose, go home. That's the end of the story. Now, on to Joel Damon's breakthrough. Some great content after the win of his caddy and running after the hat and the hugs and everything. I got to love this guy. In my opinion, he's the most relatable PGA Tour golfer out there right now. So I don't know if that makes it more fun for the win, but Jeff certainly loved to see a guy like Joel Damon pick up a W.
Yeah, I mean, anytime a grinder like that picks up a win, it's pretty cool to see. I like it too. Guys getting their first wins like that, breakthrough. It's just cool to see. You can just tell there's so much going into that first win. You know, it reminds me of guys like Kevin Chappell getting his first win. This is a million more I could probably point to, but that's just one of the first names that came to mind, probably because we're playing the Valero today and that's where he got it, or this week and that's where he got it. But
I was just about to say, yeah.
Guys like that, you know, guys who've been close. We know they're good players. We know they're really solid. They're out there grinding. I mentioned to you before, I mean, Joel Damon's been like 50-1 and he's been in contention in like bigger events than this. So we know the capability was there with Joel Damon, and it's nice to see him break through. So absolutely one of those you love to see it moments for sure.
So a lot of the golfers going down the list, obviously most of the best players in the world are preparing for next week. So we are going to get a ton of names that played Corrales last week that are going to play here that I think are going to be in play. So let's go ahead, and that's going to be the focus of our review. I'm not going to focus on match play or anything like that. But before I move on, I want to make sure you guys all to know to like and subscribe, especially on the subscribe portion of our YouTube channel here. I'm coming out with short form videos all the time, and they come out sometimes at different times. Best way to get notified is to subscribe to our channel here. So, all right, let's move on to our DFS review. A couple of names, and Michael Glickich. My mom plays on FanDuel. She plays like the dollar events. She picked this guy, and I don't know why I missed him, because normally, you know, my mom is not going to pick somebody that I missed. But, Jeff, what did we miss there? Because the guy was about 0.5% owned, but he had been playing pretty well, especially in the alternate field events.
Yeah, he's, I've kind of tracked him before. I mean, he's a guy who's done, he did pretty well in the Korn Ferry Tour. Like, he's very competitive there. Obviously, he's competitive enough to get the actual PGA starts. So, you know, one of those guys who was kind of able to grind his way up into the top echelon of the Korn Ferry. And yeah, I mean, again, these are the type of guys you just got to keep an eye on for these events, because when the fields get watered down like this and they're secondary events, they can pop up. And if they're in any kind of form, even just a little, you know, they just get, it just feels like these players get confidence when they go down to these secondary events. Damon's a great example too. I mean, coming in with like no made cuts, but again, we know he's talented. He goes down a little bit of a notch, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, I can beat these guys, and look what happens. So I think like Gilich or whatever, however you pronounce it, the same kind of thing. He wasn't playing too bad. He's a guy who's certainly got it done like in the Korn Ferry, and it just clicked for him this week. So,
you know, I think that stats and statistics, specifically strokes gained, I think it's important. And, you know, I was out on the golf course the other day with the head pro of the course that I belong to. And, you know, he's not really into strokes gained. He hasn't gotten too much into that or understand it. But what I told him is, it's the most predictive value that we have when trying to talk about professional golf. And one of the things that we did see from Joel Damon, even in his missed cuts, was the ball striking was good. Well, we know when ball striking is good, if we can get the flat stick in the short game to kind of catch up, you're going to have a chance if the ball striking stays around. That's exactly what happened with Damon. That's why we look at the stats. That's why we were there. So love that, especially obviously Damon coming in at 7,700, 14.6x, great return. Rafael Campos is another one that just loves these island events. Every single good start that he has had has been either the Puerto Rico Open or now the Dominican. So keep an eye on for that. Graham McDowell is now calling himself the pass pound specialist. Keep an eye on for that as he comes in the top five again. Other names that are like that, there's Hudson Swafford again, a win at this event, and another top 10. So then we got Sam Ryder down there a bit. He's in great form. The other one I want to mention is Ryan Brem. Guy comes out of nowhere, but he had three eagles last week, Jeff. And just his guy that when he makes the weekend, he's in that Cam Champ bucket that his driving ability means he's going to pay off his salary long as he gets to play 4 days.
Yeah, Ryan Brem's a pretty good ball striker. You know, a guy who's had a cup of coffee on the PGA Tour before and stuff. When his ball striking gets going, he can definitely stripe it with some of the best of them. So, again, just another player, not that overly shocked to see, just kind of pop up with a decent week. And, yeah, he was definitely, you know, obviously lower owned and stuff like that. But, again, this is what you get in these weaker field events. I feel like, and it's funny you bring up the strokes game, because I think you're right. Especially in these events, like you shouldn't look too much at the recent form and the missed cuts and stuff like that. You should go by, in my opinion, more of just like the pedigree. Your you cuts. Know, like Damon was, that's what I was telling you before. Like Damon was kind of stuck out to me, and I wish I had played him and stuff like that. But you know, you can even go down the list. You know, a guy like Gilich obviously had some pedigree from the Korn Ferry Tour, so you shouldn't have rid him off. David Hearn always seems to show up in these events, like regardless of what he's doing. He's just like makes the cut. He makes some birdies. So I don't know. You know, I'd say the one guy that like really did kind of perform up to his, like, you know, what we expected to, especially, well, there's a couple guys, but I mean, Grillo and Justin Su were kind of like, you know, they did what they made a lot of birdies. They got in contention, didn't close, but they played well. And you saw that the talent is there with guys like that. So
Sure did. So regardless of Charlie Hoffman's quadruple bogey on the last hole where it pushed him out of the top 15,
brutal.
The top 10 GPP owned last week, golfers actually did quite well. Only one missed cut. It wasn't actually a missed cut. It was a withdrawal from Luke List. All the other guys made the cut. There were, geez, I think two other top 10s, the winner in eight top 20s. So a really good week for the chalk if you decided to play it. It's just sometimes how that works. Now, when we look at the optimal, one would think that so much chalk hitting and playing well that the optimal would be somewhere above 49,000, but that's not the case. It was 47,500. Joel Damon, Graham McDowell, Raf Campos, and Glickich, who we all just talked about, all coming in under 7,500 or 7,700, I should say. Ryer and Griot were the other two top scorers. Look at the top GPP lineup done by a pro that we have been following. Goes by the name Forsaken. And on Twitter, downside of me, you got to switch the O to a zero, though, there to actually find the right person. They absolutely dominated this week. Coming in first, coming in sixth, coming in seventh. We'll take a look at their allocations in a bit. But as you can see, the top GPP lineup, Thomas, Peters, good to see him playing decently against Sam Ryder. Seb Straka, Joel Damon, the aforementioned Ryan Bremen, Michael Glickich. What a find, 0.3% owned. That is how you do it. 71% total ownership while still playing three rather chalky golfers, Jeff. You got to love this lineup. Finding Glickich, that was the $50,000 ticket last week.
Yeah, absolutely. How old was Campos last week?
Right in that 1-3% range.
So, you know, playing Campos on the island events, I mean, I think that was a good call as well, obviously. You know, the other guys, again, I think Dahlman was not an obvious play, but, you know, just from a talent perspective, made a ton of sense. Ryder playing well, Grillo playing pretty well. G-Mac, I mean, that's one guy I you know, veterans have done well this course, but that's one guy I don't know if I ever would have considered this week just from price, but obviously performed. We've seen him perform in these events before. And the other two were just, yeah, fantastic GPP plays. So, yeah, I mean, you look at the lineup, you think, you know, everything kind of clicks. You know, you just, you fall in the right punt play there, like you said, and it's like a $50,000 decision. So
crazy. That's how it happens, right? Yep. Let's go into our allocations in the pro review. But before I do, I mentioned at the top of the show that MLB is coming back. And of course, we love that over here at Osmo. And we've got a promo for you. It's called The Starting Nine. MLB opening day is April 1st, just a couple of days away. And so what you're going to get is your first 9 days of Osmo plus MLB for only $9 when you use promo code STARTING9. That is starting and then the number 9 or the numeral 9. That gives you access to everything we have to offer for MLB DFS, including player projections, ownership projections, top stacks, lineup builder, and of course, our premium Slack channel. This offer is valid through April 9th. Stop guessing, start winning, and join Osmo plus MLB today. Okay, let's go ahead and go over a couple of how the pros did it last week. Let's start off with our own Alex Osmo Baker, who had a very good week, did not win, did come in 10th, also came in 4th in the $500. So overall, a really good player pool this week. In fact, of his top like 13 owned, he only had one missed cut, Lucas Herbert in there. Other than that, top started with Griot and Garnett, along with Johnny Vegas, Zanotti, Brian Stewart, made the cut, didn't play that well. Then you have Joel Damon at 26%. So a great player pool for Alex last week. Certainly seems like he is hitting his stride here, Jeff. Last couple of weeks, he's on fire. I'm not going to take credit for it, but I will tell you, we dug deep about 3 or 4 weeks ago on some of these strokes gain stats, changing up some of the projections, and he has been on fire since. So hard to fade Alex when he's on here.
You can take credit for it. That's okay. I mean, that's what you're here for, man. You're the PGA, you're the stat guy, obviously. So, but yeah, no, I, another nice week. I mean, going big on Grillo, I think made a ton of sense. I like that call. I mean, Grillo is just consistent. Again, you get him in these like secondary events. He's just a little bit easier on his psyche, I think, to shine through. He still never wins. I mean, he's like the Tony Finau of like the secondary events, but I definitely like going big on him. Garnett was a great call.
He really is the Griot of secondary events. I mean, he really is the Finau of secondary events, though. He really is.
He's just like, you know, automatic top nine. He'll come through with a ton of birdies. But yeah, and the Bryce Garnett call was good, too. He's kind of like the mini G-Mac, you know, just a good putter, good at getting around these kind of courses, too. So Perez in there. Peters obviously had allocation too. Lots of Damon, obviously needed that. And hit the right buttons on the guys below too. Roger Sloan, another Canadian who paid off pretty well this week too. So really just, yeah, that's a really good allocation. Even knowing what we know about the golf tournament, it would be hard to make a better allocation than this, you know?
Really is.
And in fact, it was a nice week.
Yeah, the fact that he only came in 10th kind of surprised me a little bit, but still, obviously, anytime.
And that's not one play, though. You know, he just, there's no
Gilmore. The Glickich, yeah. There's no Glickich there. Yeah, exactly. Glickich,
whatever is this.
Now, for me, for my GPP, I focused on match play for my GPP lineups. The one lineup that somebody mentioned just in chat a bit ago that did win the $555, which you guys will see in a bit, that came in 31st in the $15, so a pretty good lineup. Of the, I made 20 entries in the $15, and I know some people only do 20 entries. This is my allocation. It went Justin Suh in 75% of them, Joel Damon in two-thirds of them, Tyler McCumber in 58% of them, then Peter Uihlein, Vince Whaley, Brendan Wu, I can't get away from, Bryce Garnett, Tom Dietrich, Lucas Erbaut. So not bad. The amount of entries here, I always go way more aggressive when I'm only doing 20 entries, Jeff. I just feel like, if I'm only going to do that limited entries, I really got to press my leverage. That's what I did. I ended up having a profitable GPP week with the 20 entries, but that's really only because of the one lineup. Now, we don't really need to talk that much about that. Let's go on to the winner of last week and how they broke it out. And I was super excited to see that their highest owned player was 30%, because we haven't had a GPP winner that has what I would call considered a conservative strategy come out and win. And not only did they win, came in first, sixth, and seventh. I threw on there their bottom categories. Glickich, 8%, and Brehm, 7%. Jeff, that's not a lot. I mean, that's all they needed to do there. Goes to credence to show that, hey, maybe this is what we should do in these type of events. Take some of these really low-owned plays, give them almost 10%, and look what happens.
I definitely think for these types of events, yeah, you can make a way better case for getting up there with a little bit more ownership on guys, especially if you feel strongly about them. And like I said, Glickich made sense as a guy to target for like a 1%er, because he's got some experience and some pedigree a little bit from the Korn Ferry Tour. So Josh Teeter, and that was did Teeter make the winning lineup for them? I can't remember. No, they didn't. But Teeter had a good week. Like, that was a good call too. Sloan, I said. So just a solid, like, just killed the kind of bottom half of this field, obviously. I think you're right. I think you take like a group of guys, you go a little bit bigger on them in these weaker field events, because the talent gap just isn't that big from top to bottom in these. So
exactly. Great.
You're not getting a Dustin Johnson at like plus 800 ever in these. So if you didn't, you know, so it's I agree. I think that's a good way to put it.
Okay, let's move on to the lineup review. I know I had one more there, Jordan, but I see the time, so I'm going to skip Brick 75. Brick, I'm sorry, buddy. I'll get to you next week, but I can't tell you quickly that he had also Bryce Garnett, Seb Straka, Grillo. So, Damon, really good week for the pros. I mean, when I look at the GPP results last week, it was a really good week for the NMEers, just kind of how it happens when the projections all come out correctly, especially when we're all semi-working off the same projections. And given their player pools, I'm going to guess that both Brick and Forsaken had a tidbit of look at Alex's projections last week. So, all right, let's move on to my lineup here. I also started with Grillo. I went to this lineup late because I saw Alex's projections of Grillo coming in about half of Charlie Hoffman, Jeff. So that was easy for me. Not that I didn't like Charlie Hoffman. I just liked Grillo over. Felt like I could get leverage there, and it worked out really well for me. Hoffman was 30% owned in the 500. Then, of course, the Joel Damon was the easiest value pick of the slate. As you can see there, 33% owned. Vince Whaley snuck through the cut. I was sweating that plus one cut all Friday. I knew I had a chance if he made it through, and he shot 400 for me on the weekend and a birdie streak. So, as you can see, a limited entry field, stuff like that can get it done.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Great lineup, obviously, right off the bat. Love the Justin Suh play as well. Justin Suh, obviously, I was getting excited. Maybe he was going to bank it there. That looked like a Justin Suh bank looked like it would really put you in some nice profit for the week. 75% owned there in your player pool. So McCumber was a guy I actually did use, so I like that call as well. I really liked him. But, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think the main – I mean, obviously, Whaley getting through the cut and stuff was nice. But, like, I think your main sort of – you know, advantage was going Grillo over Hoffman. And then obviously you benefited from a little quad at the end, but I mean, Grillo was, was clearly beating Charlie, you know, even before that, you know, he had the massive, I think it was Saturday round. So just a good call there. And I agree again, that's why the ownership projections at Osmo are very valuable, man. You can make calls like this. You can figure out who might be trending towards being like the pivot play. So smash that like for Jason, guys, for his big week.
Thank you.
Let's hit it. Let's get the like button going here. And yeah, man, great lineup.
Thank you. Yeah, and listen, if you want to come and join, like you just mentioned, I'm not saying this for any reason. I really used the ownership projections last week and found those the plays that I like. You want to come and do that with us? Just $8.95 Osmo Plus side. Got the Masters coming up next week. It's going to take you through the first couple of days of coverage. We'll be coming out with content probably starting this week, end of the week. So stay tuned for that. And of course, come on and join us. So, all right, let's, I think it's time that we move on to a little, well, you know what? Let's talk a little bit about the Masters here for just 2 minutes before we move on to Valero. Jeff, I want to get your opinion on what you are expecting out of next week, the biggest PGA DFS week in the history of PGA DFS golf. What do you think about that?
So what do I expect out of the Masters?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, man, I expect it's going to be great. Just like a big, it's just going to be a big event. You know, like you said, it's going to have a ton of contests, but I think this one's even going to be bigger than past ones. I think, you know, the betting is more mainstream. You know, it's back in its regular spot. It's not like a different Masters where we're just kind of squeezing it into like, you know, the end of the year, like last year. Like this is the regular time. We got, you know, March Madness ending, everything else. Like the buildup is there this time.
Real. Yeah.
It's real. Right. And I think it's going to be a really, really fun event. I think it's going to be massive. I think it's going to be covered more than it ever has as well. Just even on the DFS and betting side. So lots of big, you know, obviously multiple millionaire events on DraftKings. You know, you guys got to check those out, but there's just going to be a ton of great DFS stuff going on. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I already got a couple guys. I've already made some bets as well. So I'm already pumped for it. I don't want to look too far past it. I still got my eyes on this week. Don't worry. I got some guys that I'm feeling pretty good about, but yeah, I'm pretty pumped for the Masters. I was pumped for it last week too, quite frankly, but yeah.
Me as well. So what I wanted to bring up here was, let's say that you want to try and get fancy and join one of those, say, $4,440 contests. This week, you can do that for trying to play in a satellite. Just $75 for the buy-in there. Let's say you want to try and get a couple $100 tickets that they've got offered. Well, you can join satellites for as low as $5 this week. So that's why I want to bring it up. You listen to our stuff this week. We have a good week. You're going to play possibly for free next week. I've been trying to do that for a while now. Also on FanDuel, I know that they're going to be putting out some pretty big contests. I've been doing the same thing over there. So take a peek at those satellites. A great way to try and get into those higher dollar contests by utilizing your good work from another week. So, all right, let's go ahead and talk about that other week. Talk about the divorce course, TPC San Antonio, the Golden Oaks course, or Big Oaks. I'm not really sure what it is. I just know it's the divorce course, Jeff. The Greg Norman design par 72, 7,500 yards. Said to be the toughest test off the tee all year for the PGA Tour players. Going to hit only 54% of the fairways. So certainly will be a good test of where Jordan Spieth's off the tee game is. No doubt about that as we look into Masters next week. But Jeff, what else do you have on this course? Obviously, all these missed fairways are going to mean a lot of missed greens as well.
It's, you know, you look at the stats for this course every year, and it's always like, yeah, I like this course. I really do. I wish it was a bit more of a bigger event, because I think it's just it's a solid TD green test. Like, you can score here if you hit the ball well. Corey Connors showed that last year. Yeah. And here's something about this course. Corey Connors got to 20 under. This was still the 12th hardest course on tour last year. It just goes to show you, if you hit your ball well, you can score. If you don't, you're going to suck at this course. Like, you will get in a lot of trouble. So I like that. It really rewards the good ball striking, this course. It always has since it's been on tour. So this is like, honestly, one of my favorite venues. It kind of sucks it's at a weaker event, but whatever. You know, the strokes gained tee to green is just, it's everything this week. This is like one where you hyper emphasize guys hitting the ball. Don't worry about putting. Don't worry about anything like that. The ball strikers are going to come through here for this week. You got hard to hit greens. You know, they're Bermuda, but they're a little slopey. They're tough green complexes. You know, Phil, I know, remarked here one year they were more like Augusta than a lot of other courses were. So, you know, tough to hold. They got low green and regulation percentages, like Jason said, tough off the tee, but you can miss the fairway here and still do okay. Andrew Landry was like 66th in driving accuracy the year he won. I know a couple other guys like that, like Bowditch won here and he hit like zero fairways. So you just got to hit the ball well, though. You can't, you know, there's no water or anything to kill you, but you still got to stripe it, especially on those approaches, man.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it, maybe I should know this a little bit more, but I'm pretty sure, isn't this where Bowditch beat Johnson? And that was the last time Johnson, I think, played at this event. Maybe it wasn't this one. Maybe it was the other Texas event that Bowditch had won.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't this one. But in any case, it is a great venue. It is a tough venue, but scrambling and putting rank among the easiest on the PGA Tour. So when I think about a course that I'd love Corey Connors to play on, Jeff, it's one that requires you to have great ball striking and not great short game. Mm-hmm. At 25-1, as we move into our first clicks category, he was one of my first clicks again. I know that he's defending champion. It's hard to go back to back, but at 25-1, given the fact that DJ and Spieth are the only two up top, who for me are more about trying to get into contention rather than win, I'm sure if they win, they'd be fine. But as we saw from DJ at the Houston Open the week before Augusta, obviously in November, all he was trying to do there was get himself into contention, work on some things, and it obviously ended up working out for him. I wouldn't be surprised to see the same out of both of those guys, meaning I think it's going to open up for the next level of guys. Corey Connors and Abraham Ancer are my first two clicks this week.
I'm down with both those guys. Definitely. You know, we saw Ancer at another kind of ball strikers course in the RBC Hilton, Harbortown, RBC Heritage, Harbortown. He gained just an insane amount of strokes on his approaches that week. So we know like he's got that kind of golf in him. And look, it's a longer par 72, but like, don't be fooled. I mean, you don't necessarily have to be massive off the tee here. Landry sure isn't. Connors actually isn't even like, you know, a bomb or anything like that. I think he was like 70th in driving distance last year. So you just got to stripe it. Ancer can definitely do that. I was going to bring him up. I was going to say I'd probably lean Ancer over Connors in that range, but I agree. You know, I just looked down there. Hoffman, he's playing well. I'm not going to bet him. Tringali makes cuts. Not going to bet him. Palmer, no. Same. Hideki, hell no. Connors and Ancer would be the targets there for me, 100%. Probably would go Ancer over Connors.
If we only had to pick one, I would agree. And next guy I want to talk about is a great thing to use our Odd Shopper tool for. First, if you don't know what it is, let me tell you a bit about it. It is our tool that you can go and check all of the betting lines offered by, of course, the sportsbooks that are available in your state on any golfer that you are looking to bet. Of course, it's one of the only edges that we have in the betting market. That's why it's important to use our Osmo Odd Shopper tool. You can find it by going to osmo.com, going across the banner, and you'll see four options there. One of those options is also the podcast channel. What are you going to do there? If you cannot watch us on YouTube or just simply don't want to see my iced-teed hat or my crazy hair, go ahead and go to our podcast channel. You're going to find all of your favorite shows on the Osmo Podcast Network. And of course, leave a 5-star review on one of our products with your Twitter handle or email address, and you'll be eligible to win a free week of Osmo Plus Platinum. So that's with all of our sports. One winner will be awarded every Friday, and reviews are eligible for up to a year. So go ahead and do that for us and get a chance to win. So, okay. Now, going back to my first clicks, one of the guys I want to talk about why we use Osmo Odd Shopper is Sam Burns. First number I saw printed was 50. I typed in Odd Shopper. I saw DraftKings put him out at 80. Well, that was an easy click. And as our chat just pointed out, he's really struggled with water. There isn't that much water on this course. 80-1, that is a good number for Sam Burns.
It's a great number. That was actually my first official bet of today, too. I only got him at 60-1, but I'm quite frankly, I'm just fine with 60-1. You know, I went to bed last night. I didn't really go to bed because I didn't sleep last night. But I was thinking, if we could get Sam Burns at 40 again, that'd be good in this field. And then, you know, popping up at 60. Yeah, of course I'm going to take that. He's been striking the ball fine when he's been on. Obviously, he's had a little bit of troubles last two times out, but look at what Joel Damon did off four missed cuts. Not these guys aren't necessarily that far away. He's got good experience being in contention early season. Now he's coming to a weaker field event. this could easily be one of those spots where he's just like, oh, you know, there's one big guy here and who cares about the rest? I can beat these guys. And the confidence might just show up. So either way, these odds, we were betting Sam Burns at like 40-1 at the Arnold Palmer 2 weeks, like 3 weeks ago. Of course, I'm going to bet him at 61 here. Love it.
Yeah. And our chat just points out, thank you, Mr. Spaz Bite. Great call on Abraham Answer. He does live in San Antonio now. He went to like Odessa College. So from Mexico, but has settled down in this area. So kind of a home game for him. No surprise to see him play here this week. Another guy that is in the Sam Burns talent pool, who's playing very good recently. Also a winner in Texas. Maybe at a very, very different, very, very different course. I guess maybe my body doesn't like me talking about Aaron Wise, Jeff, 80-1 this week. I actually feel like he's coming around a bit. We're going to start to see more consistent play. We know he's got the top end talent. And at 80-1, I think this is a great spot to jump on.
It's, you know, I'm actually surprised that he's available at this price. I guess he just bombed so hard on Sunday at the Honda that, you know, the books are just like, oh, I mean, you know, we'll just forget about him again, which is nice because you're right. I mean, you look at this field and like Aaron Wise, you know, being like 20 points bigger than Cam Davis, you know, bigger than Lanto Griffin. I mean, like Cam Davis doesn't even have a win. You know, I mean, Aaron Wise is really talented. Is he inconsistent as hell? Absolutely. Is he going to tantalize us with like a third and then four missed cuts? Yeah. But when you get him in these fields at this prices, when we've seen a little bit of form coming in, it's a solid bet. Absolutely. I definitely have him on, you know, have him pegged down there in that range. You know, just even looking down there, there's really no one else. I mean, you could go back to Damon, I guess. Ryan Moore has some really good course history. I just can't believe Ricky Fowler is at 81 in this field, but there's no way I'm betting him. You know, I could make a case for a guy like, I could make a case for like Varner or Moore or, on the course history thing, but quite frankly, Wise has shown way better upside than those guys of late. Mm-hmm. So I agree. The guy for me in that range is Wise.
And I guess some of the other guys you mentioned, like, okay, for example, Ricky Fowler, I'll talk about him for 1 second. This isn't a situation like we had with Ian Poulter years ago that he was playing good golf before winning the Houston Open and then getting into the Masters. Ricky Fowler is not playing good golf. It's not that situation. As much as Ricky wants to be there next week, he's got to play good golf to get himself there. It's not happening right now, at least. Other things about guys in this area, Cam Davis is another name that I am totally fine with yep. in its range. Again, guys that were looking for strong off the tee. Joel Damon, I can't click it twice in a row. He gave us the 50-1 last week, and you know, he even said himself he was celebrating. Chesson Hadley came out and was like, "I doubt he's making the charter." Again, none of this might mean anything. He might keep it up, and it's not a terrible course. But Damon's game is not strength off the tee, right, Jeff? And that's what we're trying to focus on this week. It's not like we have like an Abraham Answer situation who's not that long, but he hits every fairway. Damon's kind of in the middle and does rely on good iron play and good short game to get it done. So not the course for me for him this week. Wise is my choice in this range.
Yeah. And look, I definitely, I like Cam Davis as well for this setup. Again, getting better odds on Wise is the only thing, but I that's another player I could definitely see. Similar case to Sam Burns, a really good young player. He's gotten some good experience lately. Probably going to break through at some point. You're getting good odds on Cam Davis here. But I agree on Damon. I mean, I so rarely even consider guys coming off wins, especially their first win. It could carry over. It absolutely could. But I'll be out. I mean, the odds are a little bit interesting. I mean, for a guy coming off a win, a pretty talented guy, again, 85-1, it looks like on DraftKings right now, but I'll probably just, you know, again, we'll go with the hungover narrative and we'll say that's why we're not going to bet him.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we all got to come up with reasons that might be one of them. To finish up on Wise, I think we are a bit spoiled in this, everybody in this golf realm with having 22 and 23 year olds perform like we've been watching them for years. Colin Morikawa winning last year, Matt Wolf winning last year. You know, Jordan Spieth when he broke out into the scene, John Rahm, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe that's why we're expecting more from Aaron Wise, but I don't think it's unwarranted. Coming out of college, this kid was supposed to be the next thing. Only that one win at Trinity Forest, we're definitely waiting for him to still blossom. Still, he's super young, 23 years old. That's what you're going to get with a guy like him that isn't maybe a superstar, but still very good. Going to get volatility. Got to jump on him when we think it's a good spot to, and I think this is one of those. So, okay, moving down the list a little bit as we get maybe a little above 100-1. We mentioned Bryce Garnett a couple of times. I think last week was a little bit better spot for him. I'd rather in this range go to somebody like maybe he's even a little higher. Yeah, here he is at 140. Bern Wiesberger, a guy that I know didn't play all that great last week, but certainly had a chance, won one match, had a good chance in another, and then lost one. I don't mind him. 140-1 is what I'm seeing him at.
Absolutely, man. I'll always bet Euros like Bern Wiesberger on the PGA when they're at this price. So this is a dude who's had some good runs over in some tougher Euro events. He can light it up with his iron play as well. He could absolutely just come in here and smoke it for a few rounds if he gets in the groove. Burn's not typically like the greatest scrambler either. So I think the scores actually sets up quite nicely for him. I kind of struggled in Florida, but again, we see players go through there and struggle with those different setups, quite frankly. It's just unforgiving with all the water, right? So I'm not too worried about it. I would say like in this type of field, you know, Wiesberger, there's no way he should be 140-1. No way. So I definitely agree. Having his name down there stuck out. I'll take a little shot on Doc Redman down here too at 1600-1. He struggled with his putter. The ball striking hasn't been terrible at all. Again, another player struggled in Florida a little bit. I'm not too concerned about it, but he's gained strokes putting in two straight events. He was just brutal on the greens for like five straight events. Seems to figure that out. Now he's coming off like a couple weeks of rest. Like, don't forget, this is a player who was like, you know, in the fall series, he had a couple top fives, Bermuda, the Safeway. This guy was lighting it up with some low rounds. These irons get going again on a course like this. He's very much a little bit of a Corey Connors-esque player. So I don't mind Doc Redman down there at 1600. Just it's that type of field, that type of event. So
yeah, and I think he performed well here 2 years ago in one of his first starts on the tour. So if you want to pull off of that, not a bad thing to pull. Moving down the list, and again, we may rehash some of these guys in our DFS preview this week. But still, we're talking about the betting side of it right now. And a guy that top 10 last week kind of snuck into the top 10 due to Charlie Hoffman blowing up, Sepp Straka blowing up, which both those things, I can't even tell you. I messaged Jazz Raz when Griot was coming to 12. And I go, hey, Jazz, I need Griot to outscore Straka and Hoffman by 10 points with six less holes. Instant Grillo Eagle. Instant Hoffman bogey. It was unbelievable. I can't believe it happened. I should give Jazz Raz a tip for all of that good mojo. But nonetheless, the reason why I'm bringing this up is Grayson Sig. I don't know how I'm getting to Grayson Sig out of that, but he got it in the top 10 because of those tanks. And here he is at 160-1, a guy that we know is playing pretty good golf and we will likely see more of next year.
Grayson Sig is pretty talented, man. I was a guy who's grinded a little bit of Korn Ferry Tour watching and betting and stuff like that. He can get it done. Absolutely. Wouldn't be shocked if, you know, you're talking a bit more about him. Maybe at the end of next week, who knows? We've seen some shock winners here before. So I like that target. I definitely am of the opinion, you know, that these guys coming off the Korn Ferry Tour can get a little bit discounted. People don't know who they are. The odds makers don't know how talented they are. So he's definitely in better form than Redmond. I mean, I think Redmond's obviously got the PGA experience, but Grayson Sig, definitely a guy you can target this week, I think. I mean, again, you're just looking in that range. I mean, I brought up Redmond, and I still like that play, but I would take Grayson Sig over most of the other names there. I'm not going to take a shot with Charl or Tom Lewis, who's been like just basically terrible since that one good WGC event. And yeah, I kind of like him, man. Again, you're pulling on the right heartstrings here because I know I've seen Grayson Sig play a few times, and he's good.
Well, that was maybe a little lucky there to pull on that, but he does certainly have some game. I'm absolutely interested in him this week. Going to 175-1, another guy. I actually just brought him up as a friend of Joel Damon's, if you will, but a guy that came in 20th here 2 years ago and had his best start on the PGA Tour in quite some time, came 13th last week, and it is Chesson Hadley. I think this kind of course is made for somebody like him that maybe struggles off the tee and like everybody else will this week and can kind of use the strengths of his game to good finishes. So Chesson Hadley, 200-1 is where I first saw him. Can I get you to buy in, or do you have another couple targets in this range?
Probably not going to get on Chesson Hadley, but I will admit – I don't necessarily have anyone better. So you know, going down, I know I took a look at this range earlier today, and I just nobody stuck out for me that I'm super pumped about. You know, Kyle Stanley did have it going for a while early in the year. People were kind of excited about him getting his game back. Does he just come back now, you know, after a few weeks off at like 300-1? I would probably be okay just throwing like a few bucks on Kyle Stanley. We know when his irons get going, he can gain 10 strokes in an event. So I think Kyle Stanley probably just from the name pedigree stands out the most. That would be a guy I'd probably have a little bit of confidence in. I guess I shouldn't write off Chesson. You know, he's a similar type player. He can just sort of pop up with those irons for week to week. But I think Kyle Stanley, I think I'd prefer to go bigger. Maybe go down, throw a few bones like Scott Harrington or something like that. But yeah, for me, maybe Camillo down there plus 40,000 too. It's a little interesting. Camillo played well at the Honda. So, you know, Camillo and Kyle Stanley, maybe a couple other guys you can think about if you're looking for like some deep, deep action, Jason.
Yeah, and, you know, normally my deep action would be trying to find, you know, one of these young kids, if you will, that nobody knows about, or maybe not nobody knows about, but that the books don't know about this week. The only one that I think I really have a play at would be Akshay Bhatia. He's 250-1 this week. I don't know. I even think that maybe that's a little bit too small. The other name is Austin Ekelrat. He is 300-1, the 17th ranked amateur in the world from Oklahoma State. And then the other one, this is maybe a really just a cool name. And maybe I got to find out more about this kid. He goes to SMU. Truthfully, I've not heard much about him at all. And I'm trying to look it up, and I don't even know if the odds guys have priced him yet. Oh, yeah, it is. Mac Messenger is the guy's name. Jeff, is this the first time you're hearing about him? Because it is. Truthfully, it is the first time I have.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I got him on the odds here. It looks like he's like plus 75,000.
7,500, yeah. Sounds crazy.
But no, the first time I've heard about him as well. I'm not even sure how he got into the event. I assume maybe some kind of
college sponsor invite thing, yeah.
Yeah, some kind of local invite, right? Or obviously college sponsor. But yeah, I mean, like there is some young players in this event. So, you know, the one thing I'll say about this course, it's a little tricky. So, I think it's one that experience definitely helps a little bit. So Bhatia is the one guy I think I would be okay sprinkling a little bit just because we know his talent and stuff like that. And we've seen it pop up. We've seen it pop up, quite frankly, on other like little tricky tracks as well with good weeks. So I don't mind that. A plus 2,500. The back half of this field, very thin. You're either taking a shot with an out of form guy like a Kyle Stanley and hoping he kind of pops up, or you're going after like a young talented guy. So
eventually Bo Hostler will make a cut again. He's a talented guy from Texas. If there was any going to be a time for him to do it, it would be
good putter too.
He is a good putter. Okay, let's go to our DFS preview here. I think we've given enough odds here, and we'll talk about this for just about 10 minutes as we've got the NHL strategy show with Jake Harry and Terry McBride coming up right after this. So we're going to get out of here in just about 10 minutes. But before we do, let's go ahead and preview the slate here. We've got $15 buy-in on DraftKings coming in, $200,000 first place. You got to love that. Also, $500 buy-in for 100K to first. A couple of other good contests out there as well. We start at the top of the board. Honestly, I had Johnson Spieth 1-2. I had Johnson coming in at 11-6. So not bad. Pretty much maybe a little bit over it. Tony Finau at 11,000. I know he came back in that last match, but I'm out on that price. I would rather pay 10-7 for Jordan Spieth. And I'm unsure what to do with Scottie Scheffler. I haven't got him right this year. Mm. Last week was the time to get him right. Now he's 10-4 at a course where, yeah, actually statistically, it looks like it lines up perfectly, Jeff. But what do we have coming off of a match play where we played a ton of golf?
Yep. That is the question. I'm sure you'll be hearing a lot about it this week. What's fatigue? I mean, Scottie Scheffler played a ton of matches. You saw him fatigue at the end of two. So that's like stuck in the minds, right? Yep. I think you could potentially get an ownership dip on Scottie Scheffler here. I'm okay going back to him personally. I mean, he's a young dude. I mean, a couple of days off in between. So what? I mean, these guys play golf and like their days off anyways. Like I'm not that worried about it. I want to see, this is again, I want to see where the ownership projections are coming in between Spieth and Scheffler. I will probably play the lower owned of the two. I don't think this is a terrible track for Spieth, even though, you know, the off the tee stuff can get him in trouble. Again, it's not so much accuracy. Spieth has been okay off the tee, actually, too, for him anyways.
Recently, very much so, yeah.
It's really more if he just lights it up with the irons. Like, I mean, we've obviously seen him finish runner-up here to Jimmy Walker in 2015, so he's a Texas guy. I don't mind targeting Spieth here, but to me, it's probably going to come down to who's the lower owned of those two. It's almost like that Hoffman-Grillo thing that you talked about last week. There's a guy coming in half the ownership. I'll just play that one.
Hideki Matsuyama at 10-1, I know he's your guy, but he's terrible, and you've got Answer Connors right below him. Is there any way you can click his name this week?
Nope, don't even want to talk about Hideki, so I don't have to think about him.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm going to play Answer. Could sprinkle in Connors as well, depending on how many lineups I put in or whatever. I don't mind Connors, certainly getting a bit cheaper price, but I'll probably just play Answer in that range. I think, you know, the guys below him, Hoff and Tringali especially, make for good cash game plays. Definitely like a good cash range.
If you don't want to play Johnson or Spieth because you think that they're, even in their games this week, they're going to be thinking, okay, next week, if I have this shot, what am I going to be doing? Mm-hmm. And maybe let's say that their upside is capped at a top five, right? They want to get into contention. They want to have a chance on Sunday, but they're not necessarily out there to win it this week. Are you okay with starting Answer Connors? Do you think you're giving up too much by not getting DJ or Spieth in your lineup? I mean, Spieth hasn't won in a couple of years, so I guess I can't really say Spieth, but DJ, I guess, more so.
It is interesting. I know I looked at it and I'm like, you might have to pay up for one of the big guys, but starting Answer Connors or maybe even like going a little deeper and like Answer Hoff, maybe I don't like that as much, but Answer Connors, mm-hmm. especially, I feel like that could probably work. Those guys are playing really well. You know, Connors obviously defending. I think he's probably quite focused on this week, likes the course, great course setup. Answer chasing that first win. He is looking pretty close, Answer, right now. So I think those two, you know, if I'm not targeting one of those top three players, especially, that's probably how I would start Answer Connors for sure.
Now, when we move to the next race, 94, 93, 92. For me, Ryan Palmer, the way he's been playing this year, 9,400 makes sense. Got to be honest, the next two guys, maybe three guys, maybe four guys, don't make any sense to me.
No.
Matt Kuchar's coming off his best finish in 7 years. Maybe not seven, but at least what seems like a long time. Brendan Steele has had a kind of low-key good year, so maybe I can get by with him. But I can't see Tringali and Hoffman $100 cheaper or $200 cheaper than Ryan Palmer. Palmer's just playing really good golf. Had a great match against John Rahm that he ended up losing on the 18th or in playoff. In extra holes. So it's not like he was playing bad last week. He was right there.
Absolutely, dude. And I agree. I mean, I would rank those guys kind of how they're set. I mean, Connors, Palmer. But I do think there's a step down once you go under Palmer. Like I said, I mean, you can make the case for starting balance with like Answer Connors and maybe Answer Palmer. But I don't know if I'd include those other guys kind of in that range. Hoffman's got the great course history, so maybe we should be, but I guess it just depends how much you want to look into that. But Palmer's definitely a step above those guys straight underneath him. I agree. Steele's been consistent, but like consistency is one thing. Upside, you need upside at 9,100. I think he's a little bit pricey. And then Kuchar, like you just said, okay, so is Kuchar back? I mean, you're taking a big leap of faith there at 9K. You know, if Kuchar was like 8K or 8,200, sure. We can take a chance. If he just makes the cut, he doesn't kill us. If he just makes the cut and finishes T40 at 9, that's probably not going to get it done.
Now, I wanted to circle back a little bit. I enjoy when I'm able to put a good lineup together, but I'm also able to enjoy lineups when you guys put them together as well. So want to make you guys aware of something you may not know of, our Awesomo Hall of Fame. We love to see the success of our Awesomo Plus members. And if you do happen, have a big night in DFS using our tools, advice, or content, give us a shout on Twitter by tagging any of our hosts, me, Jeff, Ben, whomever, on our Awesomo social handles. And also, we'll also retweet it from our @AwesomoHOF account, where we compile winning screenshot shout-outs from the Awesomo Plus community. And also going to be working on some badges for our YouTube members coming up soon. So stay tuned. Really fun stuff going on over here as we get into the NFT realm a little bit. So we appreciate all of your guys' support and hope that you guys are able to pull in some of the big scores, especially coming up in the next couple of weeks. Maybe a couple of guys that'll help you do it this week, Jeff, as we move into the 8K range. Got a guy like Keegan Bradley there that is striking the ball significantly well. Lanto Griffin's had a good year. So is Chris Kirk. In fact, so is Zach Johnson. A lot of guys in this range that are having pretty darn good years. In fact, throwing Cam Davis as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what's got me a little bit skeptical on guys like Tringali, Steele, even a little bit with Hoff there, right? I mean, you look at this 8K range. I mean, Kirk's playing well. Really all those guys that you just threw in. I mean, you can even throw ZJ in there, I guess, although he hasn't quite shown the same kind of upside on a consistent basis. But, you know, Keegan at 8,400, he's pretty tempting at a venue like this, right? Where, you know, you just need guys to just strike their irons all week. That's pretty much Keegan's game. He's certainly capable of leading the field in strokes and approach here. So, this range is, you know, again, it does lead me to believe that, like, you know, you can start with one of the top four guys and then you can just pretty much go to the 8K range if you want. And I think that's a very viable strategy this week for lineup approach. I think a lot of people will take that approach. So I think that, again, for GPPs, the more contrarian play might even be to skip out those 10K guys and then maybe use two from the 9K range. So something to think about there. It is going to be tough to go like DJ answer, you know, like it just doesn't leave you much. So I think most people end up going DJ and then targeting this 8K range.
Now, I know I maybe talked not purposely a little bad about Charlie Hoffman at 9,200. I will say he's got a win here. He's got a second place here. He does have some of the best course history. He's got, including that, he's got, you know, a couple of other top 25s. So he's got some great history. And while everyone can have their opinion on course history, I think, and you already alluded to this, Jeff, and I think it's a great point, on these trickier tracks, these more difficult tracks, having some comfort, having some history here certainly helps, especially in some of those spots. So, okay, we've got a couple of minutes left. Let's get some value picks here as we go into the 7K range. Maybe a couple of names that are pretty good at the history here that we just mentioned. Brandon Grace, breakout year. He's got two top 10s in his last two starts here. Kind of random. A couple of other names. Chat has already brought up Kevin Chappell. He is pretty cheap this week. Adam Shank. Any other names in this 7,000 range though, that I might have skipped over that you are interested in this week?
Yeah, Grace is definitely interesting, playing well. I'm okay going back to Doug Gim on this course. I mean, you know, more of a ball strikers course. I know we kind of let everyone down at the Honda, but if people are just going to get off him for one miscut, I'm fine with that. I think Sepp Straka sets up well too. A guy who, you know, tee to green, he can just dominate. You know, more of a GPP play, just a pure punt, but I definitely don't mind it coming off a good week. He can definitely get hot. And Chase Seifert at 7,100. See how popular he gets. But I think most people who, you know, go buy into the strokes gain approach and look at that, he's killing it with his irons right now. So, you know, three top 20s in a row, T3 at the Honda. Seifert playing well, 7,100. He's really cheap. So, yeah, definitely sticks out to me.
T35 and T25 in his last two starts. He's 7,500 this week. And it's Phil Mickelson? No, can't be, right?
And it's the week before the Masters.
Are you playing him?
Dial it up.
It sounds like we might be playing him. CBD
dialed in correctly.
He's got that CBD coffee for wellness going right now. I got to be honest, it has looked better. I don't know if I'll click his name that much. Got Eric Van Rooy in there that got out of group play. I don't really like him. Maybe for GPPs.
Yeah, me neither.
Johnny Vegas is great off the tee and had a good Sunday. I'm actually interested in him, 7,400. He's a Texas guy. I think he's Dallas. Sure. As we move down the list a little bit, Harry Higgs has popped up recently. Harry Higgs. Below 7K. We've said Grayson Sig. I like Tom Lewis. I like Will Gordon. And I like Roger Sloan. Four guys right there.
I like most of those guys too. Sloan was going to be one of my guys for sure. We already talked about Sig. I'm going to see if I can throw anyone in there. But I mean, I think that's Doc Redman would probably be the one guy I'd throw in there.
6,600.
He's super, super volatile, obviously. But I'm a believer in the talent with Doc Redman. He's going to turn it around soon, in my opinion. So, but I like those other guys. Sig for sure. Harry Higgs, 7,100, obviously, and Sloan playing well. Sloan definitely like hitting a lot of greens right now. So played well last week too, making cuts. So yeah, I like that basket of players.
All right, well, that is going to do it for us on the PGA DFS First Look Show for the Valero. Of course, next week, the biggest week ever in the PGA DFS history with 3 millionaire makers. The first time that's going to be done for the Masters. Really excited for that. And of course, if you want more of my PGA DFS plays for this week, I'm going to be on the Tuesday afternoon show with my guy Ben Raza tomorrow. And my guy, Eric Lindquist, he's going to be checking in on Wednesday as we give our buddy Tim a little bit of a break for the next couple of weeks. So you can see me tomorrow, Tuesday with Ben Raza, 2:30. Look forward to that. And of course, stay tuned for all the rest of our awesome content. And if you're not already an Osmo Plus member, great time to join as we get the Masters next week, which we will see you all for. Good luck this week at the Valero, everybody. And we will see you for the Masters next week. Cheers.